The European Patent Office podcasts bring you an insight into the technology and innovation shaping the world.
Hello, my name is Tomasz Rozenski. I'm a senior researcher at the European Space Policy Institute. Welcome to this episode of Talk Innovation. We are bringing you a discussion on one specific type of space technologies, which is spaceborne sensing. Did you know that satellites orbiting around the Earth constantly observe our planet and generate highly useful data on our atmosphere, on our oceans, on our lands, and on human activity? In this episode, we are going to look into these Earth observation satellites in more detail. We will explore what benefits they bring to our daily life and how essential this activity is in addressing key global challenges such as the climate change. Also, we'll discuss the business angle and innovation, taking note of the accessibility of the sector for new innovations, entrepreneurs, and investors. For this conversation, I will welcome two guests. My first guest is Johannes Schaaf from the European Patent Office. Johannes, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tomasz, for inviting me.
And my second guest is Stefan Speidel from HE Space Operations, working very closely with European Space Agency. Stefan, also welcome to the show.
Hi, Tomasz. Thank you for having me.
Let's maybe start lightly. Now, what would be some of the surprising uses of spaceborne sensing that you have encountered?
I found the most astonishing the level of detail and precision that we can see in Earth observations. We all know these stunning pictures of Earth with our blue oceans, white clouds, and continents looking down on cities, houses, and even trees. These are really nice, high-precision pictures taken in the visible spectrum. But when the satellites use non-visible wavelengths, like in radar, it even goes further. They can even determine the height of the trees in the forests. And from this, they can then also derive the biomass that is comprised in the forest. They do this by analyzing the penetration of different bands into the forest, into the trees. Some waves are reflected at the top of the trees, already at the leaves. These are the shorter ones, and the longer ones are penetrating deeper into the tree and are reflected then by branches, the trunk, or the ground. By comparing these signals, they can analyze the height of the tree or the forest and calculate the biomass that is comprised in the forest, and then also the changes over time. But it even goes further. So when you use an interferometric measurement where you also record the phase, you can even see changes in the centimeter range. So if a signal is taken before an earthquake and after, you can see that the level of the Earth has risen or sunk by a few centimeters only. So the precision of this is really astonishing. And most astonishing is here, we have all these observations from a distance of 500 kilometers or more.
So here we are talking about sensing the different wavelengths of the electromagnetic radiation. Are there other forms of what we can sense from space?
Yes, indeed. Other instruments like the GRESS instrument measure, for example, the tiniest changes of the gravitational force on the satellite. This measurement is so accurate that they detect the melting of ice glaciers on the mountains. How can this work? The water from the melting ice finally ends up on the sea level. And in return, the mountains without this ice attract the satellite a bit less. Just imagine the mass of the missing ice there is almost nothing compared to the overall mass of the Earth. But still, the satellite is able to detect this tiniest difference. And in this way, it is possible to measure something like this melting of the glaciers that optically we cannot see, because often these glaciers are covered with mud, dust, or gravel.
Oh, indeed, that's fascinating. To understand it, we need maybe to better understand the technology itself. Stefan, maybe you can explain more, how spaceborne sensing works and what it actually is.
Yes, sure. Best would be probably to take a small step back, start lightly. When we talk about space-borne sensing in the space industry, what we mean is Earth observation, as you mentioned before, or space-borne remote sensing. What we need to do, or what we need to have to do that, is the satellite, which acts as a platform in orbit. And for a specific mission, the satellite will have its instrument, which is implemented. And the instrument, which could be a radar, as Johannes mentioned, or another instrument that measures this gravitational force. But it can also be a camera or some other instrument that is able to take this measurement. And this instrument on the satellite will then orbit around the Earth and take those measurements. And we're talking about remote sensing because, similar to your camera, the one that is in space is not in contact with the object it's measuring at the time of measurement. So this is why it's called a remote sensing platform. And we use that mostly to observe the Earth. You could also talk about a remote sensing when looking towards stars or other planets. But what we understand usually is that we're taking measurements and pictures and we collect data about Earth. And that fuels, you know, our observations on climate change or other things.
We may be also able to do the same kinds of measurements, or at least similar kinds of measurements, from an airplane or for a camera under an airplane. Why then invest high costs in a satellite? What are the particular benefits for that?
Well, the biggest benefit that you can get from using a satellite is that you can do global observations, or observations on a global scale, meaning you can put the satellite into different orbits and it can observe quite a large area. But you can also tune it to specifically look at a very narrow area, a very detailed. So you can go to resolutions beyond or less than 1 meter. And this enables you to, first of all, have a view on Earth that you could not get with a plane or with a drone or something similar. The other benefit that you would have for using a satellite is, if you put it into the right orbits and with the rotation of the Earth, you can even make it revisit the same location over time, or you can even try to have the satellite visit the location at the same time. And so you can take very precise scientific measurements with the same boundary conditions. And I will just, you know, for the listeners that are interested to know more about that, I will just leave, you know, two keywords. So looking for polar orbits of Earth observation satellites or sun synchronous orbits. This is where you'll get more information on how to do that and how it really works, because there's a lot of details to that as well. But this is certainly, you know, the two biggest advantages: having a really big view and being able to scan the whole Earth over time.
I'm thinking about another practical advantage, which would be that with using satellites, you don't need national permits for using the airspace, as you need when you need to fly in the nationally controlled airspaces with an airplane. And this can be a problem in some situations, for instance, where you need to detect an illegal activity, for instance, growing of illegal crops. Perhaps it can be even sponsored by some entities which maybe have connections in some countries to the government, you know. So if you want to address those kinds of situations, you are risking that this won't be possible using an airplane. And here indeed comes the advantage of the satellite, that they are in outer space, to which the air traffic does not apply.
Yes, that's also an advantage. By now, of course, satellite data is also fueled by other platforms like a plane or a drone. So you try to combine the data, or if you see something on a satellite, you might investigate in detail with an airplane. But certainly you don't, once the satellite is in orbit and you've made all, you know, your permits for launching it and developing it, then of course you have to be aware of space traffic. But other than that, you don't have to cope with those national regulations as much. Yeah, that's true.
So one of the main reasons why we put out the topic of space-borne sensing also in this podcast is that our organizations have recently produced a report on spaceborne sensing and green applications. So it's a Patent Insight report available on the website of the European Patent Office. We will put the link to the report in the show notes. And in doing the report, in doing the analysis, leveraging primarily the data in patent applications and patent filings, we have been really able to find out some highly interesting findings and observations. Maybe, Johannes, you can share a few insights on the research.
We are actually used to growing patent filings in our statistical analysis. Globally, we see a growth of patent filings in all technologies by plus 400% in 2020 when we compare the numbers to the filings in 2001. The growth in this field is, however, much stronger. The filings in green applications of spaceborne sensing increased by 1800% in the same period, which is actually something like an explosion of patent numbers. The second observation is that the majority of patent applications related to software, or more precisely, to computer-implemented inventions rather than hardware. With hardware, we mean, for example, the instruments on the satellites. The third observation is that, unfortunately, the patenting by European companies is stagnating. And this is despite the strong global growth that we see. Most European filings come from companies that are located in the countries like France, Germany, and the UK, which means the spacefaring countries.
Let's maybe move on to another aspect of the conversation, which is the acknowledgement or the recognition of the value of spaceborne sensing. What I mean here is that, you know, I worked in the space sector for some years, and one of the repeatedly occurred messages, the discussions that I have with people both in the sector and with friends and family is the question that, all right, I understand this is an interesting domain, but can I actually see the impact of Earth observation satellites in my daily life? Can we find some good examples for that?
Yeah, definitely. One of the, let's say, main things that the Earth satellites or Earth observation satellites do is they help with our weather forecast. Of course, you know, your family might say, now it's raining again when it shouldn't. You know, there's this kind of habit that you don't really maybe believe your weather forecast, but it's actually quite accurate and maybe one of the things that might be forgotten or is not easily remembered because you use it really in your daily life. But the weather forecast is really fueled by the data that is collected from those Earth observation satellites. Another domain which we have also seen, you know, when investigating the report and investigating the companies and the economic field is that with Earth observation data, you can also look into asset management. So Johannes earlier mentioned that satellites are able to, or with comparing data from satellites, you're able to detect some movement of the Earth. And in asset management, we talk usually about power lines or railroads, train tracks, some kind of infrastructure. So what you can do is also use those satellites to monitor these infrastructures. For example, for trains, there is a possibility to really look at the vegetation that is growing near the train tracks. And sometimes when you have a storm or just vegetation growing too closely to the track, you might get some blocking of the trains. So there's actually companies out there that use these kind of observations, compare them, and really provide some actionable items for the railroad companies to go out and cut down vegetation before it might be dangerous to the tracks or to the infrastructure when falling over from a storm or something like that. So this is another use that is maybe not as obvious to a, you know, you and me in our daily life, but it's something that happens more or less behind the scenes and is still quite important.
I'm thinking that when trying maybe to scale up these activities to a larger scale, this offers some interesting opportunities for you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning solutions to be integrated on top of those data. Stefan, you work more closely with the technology itself. Maybe there are some other interesting technological advancements that we can highlight.
Yeah, I mean, over the past couple of years, let's say the last 15 years, a lot has happened in the space industry, and a lot of commercial activity has risen. Also because the technology, I wouldn't say has become easier, but it has become more accessible. So when we talk about all the things that go up in space, meaning the satellite architecture or the components that are in the satellites, those really more simplified. You can get a lot of components off the shelf, more or less. So thinking about, for example, CubeSats, which is kind of a standardized product. And also with the developments from SpaceX and other companies, you have lower launch costs, which, you know, provides you more opportunities to put satellite into orbit. And on the other side, what you mentioned just now about artificial intelligence and machine learning, we also see that the availability of data has really grown. And there's a lot of platforms that disseminate data. You can even get it for free. You can buy the data from providers. And with that, you really have the possibility to use that in your algorithm and provide a service, just like the one we talked about for the asset management. You could look at farming. You could look at maritime zones. You could look at, you know, fishing, any other kind of observation that you can get from the photo. And of course, there, a lot of things are moving. Machine learning algorithms are, you know, popping up daily. Some kind of big data analysis algorithms are also involved. So you can really, really use that. And there's a lot of movement, and there's actually quite a lot of money in that industry utilizing the data for services.
Looking ahead, why I think it's relevant to talk about Earth observation satellites also with the broader public is the utility of the Earth observation satellites in addressing some of the big challenges that we collectively face as the international community. And we've looked at this also in our research, and we have seen that some of the major societal challenges that we are facing on the way ahead can be addressed by using and better leveraging the services enabled by the observation satellites. But I would even say that the argument is even more stronger, that space-borne sensing is indispensable, for instance, in addressing the climate change. And there is this concept of essential climate variables. So it's a set of indicators that we are monitoring to address the climate change and the evolution of the climate change over the long term. And we cannot really do that effectively without properly integrating the data provided by satellites. And the same goes for other big themes that are currently important in the international community, such as protection of the environment or greening our economies and industries. So all these relevant indicators that we keep discussing or keep reading about also in the media, such as biodiversity, extreme weather events, melting of polar ice caps, all these things we can address using satellites. So what is even more interesting, that we can integrate Earth observation satellites in some of the globally recognized policy agendas. One interesting example here would be the Sustainable Development Goals under the United Nations framework. Maybe we can bring up some examples to support that. Johannes, you're an expert into working with patents.
In this study, we found 14,000 documents relevant to green applications. And without prejudice, I would just like to showcase some examples here for illustrative purposes. So I have here a granted EP patent, and it's actually an invention on improving the resolution of satellite sensor data. And more precisely, it's about the measurement of soil moisture, which is very relevant for SDG 2 for the Sustainable Development Goal Zero Hunger. By that, if we know better the soil moisture, we know better where to irrigate our plants, where we have already sufficient moisture levels, or where we have even flooding coming that might even risk the development of the plants. This is a granted patent from the applicant Wanderset from the Netherlands, and it is still in force in some European countries. What I find especially interesting here is a change of ownership that we see in the data, because Wanderset has been acquired by Planet Labs PBC San Francisco, so an US applicant, who now owns also this patent. We can see from the patent data often such business activity like the change of ownership, so that we see here this is an active market where acquisitions and mergers are happening.
Can you maybe think of an invention for another sustainable development goal?
Yeah, looking at SDG 6 on clean water and sanitation, we found an EP patent on a water network monitoring system that uses satellite data. It's from Risatec LTD from Great Britain, and it's on the detection of leakage in water networks. So the basic idea is, looking down from the satellite, we can identify where we have an increased vegetation growth along the water lines, which can be a clear indication of a water spillage. So this invention goes very well aligned with the target 6.4 to increase the water use efficiency by 2030. And there's another EP patent that also covers water management. It is on remotely sensed visual data, also using satellite data. It's a granted EP patent based on an original filing in Italy. It is still in force in 8 EPO countries. And what is interesting here, that it is relative to more than one SDG. So it describes how to use the technology to track the effects of pollution. This is relevant to SDG 13 on climate action, or in its program Earth, it's about tracking erosion, fall separation or lava flows, or in urban planning to track housing, land clearing activities or deforestation. So there it is more about the protecting of habitats, as described in SDG 15, life on land. Often we find that inventions have links to several SDGs and green applications. What I find from a business aspect here quite interesting is that there are three inventors, two from Great Britain, from the University of Cambridge, and one from Italy, from the University of Naples. When the patent was granted, two of the remaining applicants had moved to the US. So we see here also a change of residence, so that the center of activity has moved away from Europe to the US. And we actually often analyze the inventor and applicant data because it can give us more insight into where do the inventions originate and where are they owned.
And what your examples also alluded to was the business dimension, right? The acquisition of a company. For instance, we indeed see some interesting, you know, commercial business dynamics taking place in the sector. If you look at some of the market estimates, most of them looking ahead would estimate the growth of the Earth observation market. We took note also of the fact that the fact that Earth observation satellites can help addressing societal challenges, there will likely be a continued interest of the public actors, of the governments, of the international organizations to leverage this data and services enabled by these satellites. So here we can really see the strong public interest, which can stimulate the growth of the commercial perspectives. But at the same time, the versatility of the business cases with Earth observation data goes much beyond the public sector. The example for that could be, for instance, the agricultural field, where the uses of space-borne sensing, and maybe specifically the example that you have provided, Johannes, on the effectiveness of the irrigation, comes very much handy as it ensures that the production of crops and agricultural products is increased and it's much more effective. So here really comes the business case of the agricultural production being supported and being made more effective through integrating Earth observation data and related services. And maybe one specific aspect we haven't touched so much yet is the availability of data. I think, Stefan, you mentioned it briefly when discussing the technology advancements. What's interesting here is the fact that some of the governmental programs around the world, and maybe the European program Copernicus would be a great example in this regard, actually provides the data freely available to users and freely available to an extent which would make it possible to use also for commercial purposes. Stefan, maybe you can say a few words about the program itself.
Okay, so the Copernicus program is the European Union's Earth observation program. It's one of the biggest ones in the world. And as you said, it offers information and data from satellites, mostly, but also other sources. But when we're talking about Earth observation data, you can actually access it from the Copernicus access hubs. And there's, of course, a couple of guidelines that you have to follow. But in principle, if you are interested in developing a service or, you know, looking at this kind of data, you can get it for free. And you can also produce, you know, commercial products from it. Now, that is a huge resource that can be used and really provides the opportunity for a lot of companies and business cases to be realized. So the program is implemented by, for example, the European Space Agency and also the European Organization for the Exploitation of Meteorological Satellites, which is EUMETSAT. There's a couple of other partners, and the European Commission is managing the program, but you can get from their products on atmosphere monitoring, on maritime environment, land monitoring, climate change, and a couple of other ones. People that are looking into that are really invited to take advantage of that and, you know, to provide something that creates a benefit for society with their service or also just a really good commercial business case.
Maybe some final remarks. Gentlemen, we're reaching the end of our conversation. Is there anything else you would like to add on this exciting topic?
Yeah, Tomasz. I would like to share one observation during the spacebound sensing study. We expected that we would find many patterns measuring the sea level, since this topic is so important for climate change. But we found many more on coastline changes, on photosynthetic activity, on land use, and of course on weather forecasting. Why that? Because obviously the applicants see more opportunities in these areas to deliver value-added products to their customers. So the patent filing rates in these analyses reflect the expectations of market participants on current and future business activities that they see in these areas, which I find really interesting and which makes patent statistics so important.
Yeah, maybe one more thing to add from my side. Since we investigated the patent data in the Patent Insight report that was mentioned earlier, which will probably be also in the show notes, and there's a lot to talk about, and you know, we're just at the end of time, but there's a lot more to explore. So really invite our audience to check out the report and also see how maybe from a different angle, meaning from patent data, you can look at the developments in technologies and innovation in the specific market, because there's a lot of details that you can filter out, a lot of insights that you can gain about such an economic sector. And I hope it will be interesting now to our listeners to check this out and familiarize themselves with it.
I would acknowledge that we haven't maybe discussed the more challenging side of using the Earth observation data. My own experience with the community of users in the governments or being users in the NGOs, in other companies, it's not that easy, right? I mean, it does come, making use of Earth observation data does come at a certain price and a certain expertise that needs to be developed. But at the same time, I think the examples that we provided really show and demonstrate the utility and the versatility. I think one of the last examples that I have personally seen was about the company that is basically doing the energy efficiency of the buildings, looking at the infrared imagery from satellites and basically deriving these insights from that infrared imagery, how the buildings, production facilities, as well as how households are effective when it comes to energy consumption. So, and then maybe my final point also would be the high interest that I personally seen working in the space sector in some of the small countries around the world, which they acknowledge the fact that there are publicly available data, there are commercial companies, but there are still even some smaller companies leveraging some other technological advancements in the space sector, such as the miniaturization, as explained by Stefan. They are trying to leverage those advancements and maybe develop their own sovereign capabilities in spaceborne sensing. I think this all together really demonstrates a growing field, a field that is poised to be more relevant at the global stage in the years to come. And I would say that's the best invitation for future innovators, investors, and entrepreneurs in making sure that they do not miss out on this opportunity. With that, I would close our conversation. Thank you, Stefan and Johannes, for joining me today.
Thank you, Tomáš, and also to Johannes. It was a pleasure being here and discussing with you.
Thank you, Stefan and Tomáš, for this podcast and the great collaboration in the Spaceborne Sensing Project. This was a really great and fruitful cooperation of these three European organizations, SB highlighting policy and market aspects, ESA sharing insights from the technical and implementation side, and the EPO from the patenting and statistics side. Thank you very much. This was great.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in.
Subscribe to the European Patent Office's podcast channel, Talk Innovation, at epo.org or on your favorite podcast platform. Let's talk innovation.